This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's yet another way that I can tell physically and mentally that sports are back. The fatigue is real. I mean, I'm not saying it's manual labor or anything, but it's different when your brain has to be engaged and you're taking notes and you're following games from the time you wake up until the time you go to bed. And as you can also see on a daily basis, there's so much news. So whether you follow it on social media, whether you follow it on the internet, maybe you watch TV, there's a lot of news outside of the actual games, too. It's every day having to keep up with it. And so I'm not saying that I wasn't tired at all when there were no games. I was moving then, so that was the extra layer of exhaustion that I was feeling. But now there's this it's a satisfaction, but it's a fatigue for sure. After, you know, 12 hours or so between the show and the prep and then the games that you're having to follow, there's a lot going on. And so I can feel that difference too. It feels a lot more like April, as I say, when you're talking March Madness and the Masters and the end of the NHL and NBA regular seasons into the playoffs, Major League Baseball. And we also typically, well, we did this year too, but we have the draft as well and free agency. And so there's just a lot happening, and it's good. It's good. It's just taking a lot of extra effort, too. And I appreciate the guys. You know, we're limited personnel, and we don't have the same number of people that we had, say, 6 months ago helping us. And so there's a lot of extra work being put on everyone's shoulders. I think that's the case for a lot of different industries. So Dave and Chris are also working real hard, too, and I appreciate them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can.
Here's Luka to his right. Back to his left. They jump him. Double team. Kleba, three. Good! Maxi knocks it down. And a timeout by Luke Walton in Sacramento. Doncic's 12th assist of the game. Huge basket for Kleba. The Mavericks 107, Sacramento 102. 121 remaining in overtime.
We needed that win. It wasn't our best game. Far from that. You know, we fought. We hang in there. We helped each other. You know, like, never gave up. You know, we needed that win. And, you know, you can never count us out, for sure.
The Mavericks' first win in the bubble. They were really excited, happy, loose when they first got there and then started playing games. And it took them a little while to find a groove. And I'm not so sure that this was it. But 21-year-old Luka Doncic has yet another triple-double, 34 points, 20 rebounds, and a dozen assists. And you hear that 12th assist with Chuck Cooperstein, the play-by-play voice of the Dallas Mavericks radio network. We're pleased to welcome Chuck now, joining us not from the bubble, but from Big D. So this was not a pretty victory for the Mavericks, Chuck. We could all see that. But when you watch the way that they held off the Kings down the stretch, what did they do in this game to protect the victory?
Well, they guarded. They really guarded it after the first quarter when Sacramento lit them up, hit 9 3-pointers in the first quarter. The Mavericks really worked hard at that end of the floor. Rick Carlisle has said that the only way that this team was really going to be able to achieve its maximum was to be a better free throw shooting team and be a better defensive team. And they were, and especially in the fourth quarter, when they were down by as many as 10, they were down 6 with 5 minutes to go, and then did not allow Sacramento to score in the last 5.5 minutes held them to 8 consecutive misses from the floor. Luka Doncic was absolutely fantastic. I mean, you can look at his numbers, and I'm sure you'll get to them, but that was the best defense I've seen him play in 2 seasons. It wasn't even close. And he was a rebounding fool coming down the stretch where at one point he grabbed 5 consecutive defensive rebounds for Dallas. So he was great, but Dorian Finney-Smith was great. And they had to do a lot of this with Porzingis in foul trouble, and ultimately he fouled out with just under 4 minutes to go. But he was the one statistic that probably says more than anything else. Now, the Mavericks shot 36.7% today. This was the first win for Dallas when they shot below 40% since November of 2016. 49 consecutive games they lost when shooting below 40%. I mean, at some point you think you fall into one, but they didn't until today. And it came at a most opportune time because of the types of losses that they had, and with their next 2 games being against the Clippers and Bucks.
So maybe better then that they don't build a big lead. Instead, like they did against the Kings, trailed most of the game.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to make a living doing that, especially against the teams they're about to play. But it has been crazy how they've had this record-setting offense all season long. But when they get to crunch time, that they've just not been able to replicate that. They slow down. They dribble the ball too much. Not a lot of movement. And they don't get the shots that they want. But, to their credit, these last 2 games against Phoenix and against the Kings, they've put their head down. They've gone to the rim. They've shot a ton of free throws. They shot 50 today. They shot 37 in the Phoenix game. And, when you're not shooting well, you've got to find a different way to score. And the Mavericks were able to do that by putting their head down, going to the rim, and then converting at the foul line, which, again, has been at times problematic for them.
You mentioned Luka and his numbers. Yet another historic performance for him. 34 points, 20 rebounds, and a dozen assists. And as much as we could talk about his scoring, because I'm not sure there is anything on the floor that he can't do, I'm always so impressed with his rebounding, especially when he puts together a game like this. This is not a guy who is going to shove other players out of the way. Not that they do that much anymore in the NBA. But why is he so good when it comes to rebounding?
Well, he's stronger than you think he is, okay? I mean, he's 230, and he's every bit of it, and he uses his strength extraordinarily well. And granted, there were times where he'll get some easy ones, but the ones that he got in the fourth quarter against Sacramento, just about all of them were traffic rebounds, and that was really impressive. He got a couple of offensive rebounds too today that probably helped pad the number a little bit, but he's an exceptional rebounder, for his size and for the position that he plays.
Right.
They needed him to be that with Porzingis out of the game for a lot of the game because of fouls. He had to be able to step up. He did that. And obviously, Dorian Finney-Smith helped him too. He had 16 rebounds, which was a career high for him. But the best part of Luka's game today was his defense. The second best part of his game was that he took care of the ball in the second half. But if there's a criticism of Doncic, that there may be, there's a few. He doesn't shoot free throws as well as you'd like him to. It's about 75%. He's not a good 3-point shooter. He takes extraordinarily difficult threes and shooting 31%, and he's 3 of 18 in the bubble. And the other thing is that a lot of times he's loose with the ball and he'll turn it over. And sometimes it's just because I think he's bored. The game comes so easily to him that he just tries to challenge himself, and he does things that he probably shouldn't do. But in this game, they needed him to really run the team because he wasn't getting a whole lot of help. And he only had one turnover in the second half. He did not have a turnover in the fourth quarter or in overtime. And that's how you win games, when you maximize your possessions and your point guard makes sure that you're getting a decent look every time down the floor, or in this case, maybe not the field goal, but at least getting fouled.
Chuck Cooperstein is the radio voice of the Dallas Mavericks in the bubble, and they get a big victory in overtime against the Kings on Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. When you look at their the body of work, though, against teams that do have multiple scores or that like to throw up a volume of threes, so when they're hot, they can put up a ton of points. Can the Mavericks keep up with a team like that when it comes to a seven-game series?
Well, offense is not the problem for this team, even though the last two games have been somewhat of a problem. They will score. They will always find a way to score. The question is, can they get enough stops? No, they should have won the game against Houston. They were up 7 with 45 seconds to go. No, they just let that get away from them.
Right.
They were not the better team for a lot of the game against Phoenix. They were great in the first half, horrible third quarter, and got it down, obviously with a chance to win the game, got a couple of chances to win the game. And didn't get it done when Porzingis and Hardaway missed the three-pointers. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. It's the way they play. They're like the Rockets in that regard. Don't shoot as many free throws as the Rockets generally, although that's not been the case in the bubble. I mean, they're playing 3-2 outcome offensive basketball. They're playing layups, they're playing three-pointers, and they're playing free throws. And when you've got a guy like Doncic, who, while he doesn't shoot threes well, he is the best finisher at the rim for anyone that's under 6'10" in the NBA. He shoots about 73% at the rim. That allows a lot of things to happen for you. If the Mavericks are going to win in the playoffs, it's going to be how well do they guard? If the game is close, are they able to keep their composure and run their offense similarly to how they've run it, say, for the first 3.5 quarters of the game? They've really struggled in that area. They've lost 10 games by 3 points or fewer. They've lost 18 games by 5 points or fewer. That's the most in the NBA. And certainly, for a team that's won 41 games, they wind up being an analytics person's nightmare, because they should be a team, frankly, that is either second or third in the Western Conference right now. But they're sitting seventh and they're staring the Clippers down. That's going to be a very difficult series for them. No question about it.
As you point out, the Clippers with only 4 more wins than the Mavericks, though right now the Mavericks sit in 7th place, a couple games out of 6th in the West, while the Clippers are in that 2nd place spot for the time being. Chuck Cooperstein with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So the first impressions for you when you see what's happening inside the bubble, almost a week of games now, what do you think?
Well, I think generally speaking, the games have been pretty good. I think that the guys have been extremely competitive, and especially those games involving the teams fighting for the 2 spots in the West that will likely result in the play-in games. When those teams are playing, they're playing for something. They're playing really hard, and that's been, I think, very fun to watch, and I think speaks well of them in a very bizarre situation, unlike anything that they've experienced as professional athletes, that they've been able to summon up their own energy to play as well as they play. Defense sometimes has been difficult for teams to play, but I do think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the whistle from officials has been very, very tight. And I think Seth Partnow in The Athletic had a terrific column on Tuesday in which he pointed out that at least early on in the bubble, through the games of Monday, they were averaging 11 more fouls called per game and 13 more free throw attempts per game. And that kind of slows the game down. So if we're going to keep up like this, the player is clearly going to have to adjust, but it also makes it very difficult, in my opinion, to play defense when you really don't have a chance to play defense. Because if you just put a hand on someone, they're going to blow the whistle and call a foul.
Yeah, it does seem like that, at least early on. I know the NHL has been complaining about the number of whistles as well. Chuck, your position when you're broadcasting games, what are you seeing? Because I know, at least for now, everybody or local broadcasters are on the outside. So what's your perspective doing games?
Well, I've got a great setup inside the Mavericks locker room at the American Airlines Center. I mean, I've got an 80-inch screen, and I've got some other screens that give me some of the other views that that aren't necessarily on the broadcast, but that I can refer to if I need to. The thing that I have found the hardest is hearing the whistle from officials. And sometimes, the camera, the high shot that we had that stays on the court and goes back and forth, a lot of times, like when offensive fouls are called, they're called by the trail official. And the camera oftentimes doesn't show the trail official. So we have, we just see them sort of walking the other way, but we don't hear the whistle and we don't see the call. So we're kind of flailing in the dark trying to figure out what's going on until our stat screen tells us, who the foul is on.
Oh, gosh.
So look, it's a very first world problem here, okay? fans don't want to hear about the issues that I have and whatever. We're making the best of it that we can. I think we're doing a pretty good job with it. But there's no doubt that there are things that we are missing, not being in the arena to see it. But listen, that's the way it's going to be, and we'll live with it. And hopefully, from my standpoint, I know that we have five games of seeding games to go, and we have at least four playoff games to go. And I hope there are a lot more playoff games than that.
I will say, I think I enjoy hearing each individual broadcast team describe what they're seeing, where they are, and even some of the challenges, too. I kind of feel like that's part of 2020, where we're all displaced and we're out of our comfort zones, and yet we're finding ways to make it work under unique circumstances. So, I know about the scrambling part, but I think it's kind of cool, too, to let people get a peek behind the curtain of where you are and what you're doing.
Well, I just hope that, people understand, the game that they're getting is not necessarily the game that they are used to getting. But the game is there, and, we're doing our best to describe it, and I'm preparing the same way that I've always prepared, try to bring the same energy that I always bring. It's weird when, there are no fans to react to huge shots.
Right.
Like the ones, some of Lucas' shots today, or, Maxi Kleber's knocked down a couple of huge threes. The one that put Dallas up 7 with 45 seconds left against the Rockets, you would have thought that would have been the one that was the kill shot. Didn't turn out to be. He did hit the three today that wound up being the kill shot that put Dallas up by 5, and Sacramento couldn't come back from that. But you might hear something from the benches, you don't hear the roar of 20,000 people. And, we're always playing off of what we're feeling. I mean, it's impossible not to. So, it's our job to create our own energy, just as it is for the players to create their own energy on the floor. That's been the biggest challenge. And I think so far, all things considered, we've done okay.
I agree. And listeners have you, which is what they're familiar with. You can find Chuck on Twitter at Coop Mavs, the radio play-by-play voice of the Dallas Mavericks. Right now, they are trying to get their way into a comfort zone there in the bubble, get the big victory over Sacramento. Chuck, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Thanks for having me, Amy. Take care.
Chuck Cooperstein, second time on the show since basketball originally was suspended, going back to March 11th, and the first time we talked to him, the poor man was morose. He was missing sports so badly. So it's good to hear him with a little more life, a little more spring in his step, so to speak. And yeah, Luka Doncic, he continues to amaze. I don't care if you watch it night in and night out. It's still awesome. And to think that he's only 21 years old and already has the ability to go toe-to-toe with anybody in the NBA. And Chuck raving about his defense in this game against the Sacramento Kings. And that could end up being the difference. Now, I still say that you look at some of the other teams that we've talked about in the bubble. So Houston being an example, they're not always on when they shoot threes, but they'll put up a lot of them. And if they hit 40% of them, it's really hard to keep up with them. You've got other teams that can score just in bunches and they can hit you hard with those offensive stretches. And Dallas does have a couple of guys who can score, but if it's not Tim Hardaway that's their consistent third option, well, then you wonder where that offense is coming from. The defense, though, they've got some athleticism. They've certainly got some young guys. If they're gritty, and they are aggressive. I feel like they can make other teams play ugly, and that was the case when you look at Sacramento. Now, they've got some bigger tests that are coming up, but to guard the way they did, and as much as Chuck complained about the free throws, the Kings only took a dozen free throws. That's not very many. Now, the Mavericks took 50 of them, but if they can play smart defense without clutching and grabbing and limit their opponent's trip to the free throw line, that's also a major boost for them and for their chances to win. So you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page named after the show. You have, we'll call it about an hour and 15 to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. 855-212-4227. You don't really get to cheat and ask me anything now. But if you have a sports question, oh, goodness. It's good to have you with us for the Hump Show. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
McConnell looks into the post, nothing there. He'll get it to the cutting Warren down the right side for two more.
Wow, I'll tell you what, the Pacers really had an empty possession there. T.J. McConnell comes up with a big offensive rebound and hits T.J. Warren for the cut.
And Warren has tied the Pacers franchise record by scoring 119 points over three consecutive games.
I think he's just playing in a flow. I think the team is playing in a flow. Even though we've had different combinations, we've got really good ball movement. TJ, the ball is finding him, and he's knocking down a high percentage of his shots, just really efficient right now.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
TJ Warren has now had three consecutive games in which he has blown it open in Orlando. So 32 points. To go with his 34 points in the previous game. And, of course, going back to the weekend, a career-high 53 points. That was in the Pacers opener. So 119 points so far in the restart. And as you hear on the Pacers radio network with Mark Boyle, he ties Jermaine O'Neal's franchise record for most points over three consecutive games. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The cool thing about this bubble, among other things, but one of the things I like about this bubble is that we're seeing things that maybe we didn't expect. We're seeing kind of the lid come off. So anything goes. I'm someone who spills a lot of things. I drop things, I spill things. It's my major domestic failure. And so I'm constantly sweeping up things or picking things up that I dropped. And that's what I feel about the, I know this is a weird analogy, but it makes sense in my brain. That's what I feel about the NBA restart. Because it's in a bubble, because guys had so much time off, because of the circumstances where they're all together all the time, they can't be in their home courts, their home locker rooms, they're in hotel rooms. Some of them will handle it better than others. It's about the mental toughness, about the leadership. But also, we haven't seen them in 5 months. Who knows what they've been working on, maybe how they've been tested, how they've come back stronger, maybe a new perspective, whatever it is. I mean, some of these guys are figuratively like Bryson DeChambeau, who went about to work on themselves and their games and have come back stronger than ever. And TJ Warren definitely falls in that category. Back to the spilling, I feel like I've got this glass of, let's see, what do I love to drink? Vanilla Coke Zero. So I'm going to trip because I always trip. And I'm holding this glass of Vanilla Coke Zero and I trip and it goes flying everywhere all over the, let's hope it's the kitchen so I don't have to clean up the carpet. I don't really have carpet, but I don't want to spill it on the hardwood floors. It just, that's how I feel about this NBA restart where just spill it all out. We don't know what it's going to look like, where it's going to go, where we're going to have to clean up soda. You know, that part doesn't really fit. it's a mess. It's a mess, but in a positive way. It's not neat. It's not structured. I mean, it's structured in the way that they're doing the games, but it's not neat. It's not automatically the top seeds are going to move on. It's so completely out of the ordinary that anything goes, which is why I feel like it's messy, but not in a bad way. But some of the results that we're seeing so far, how about the Milwaukee Bucks losing their game to Brooklyn, a team that is essentially the Miami Marlins of the NBA? Half their roster didn't join them until about 3 weeks ago.
That's wild.
So the Bucks, while they're still trying to find that rhythm and groove, You know, they trip a game here and there. Their magic number remains one to clinch that top seed in the East. Now, does this mean they don't have a chance to win the title? Absolutely not. Just that the margin for error is smaller. And also the fact that you've given life to extra teams, a chance to play into the postseason, they're included. They've got nothing to do there other than maybe play some golf, although I don't know how many guys play golf. But they can play golf. They can play video games. Otherwise, it's basketball. It's basketball, 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 FaceTiming with family, basketball, and more basketball. And in some cases, they're getting off the court and having a meal and then turning around and prepping for their very next opponent. You're seeing a lot of these teams go back-to-back. So yeah, all bets are off. I mean, there definitely are people betting, but all bets are off where anything can happen. And I do believe that these eight seeding games, while they're about these teams finding that rhythm again and getting back into a flow, that you are going to see some odd results come playoffs, especially if we're talking about getting an 8-9 series, specifically in the West. So yeah, it's just a big, massive spill. And we don't exactly know how it's going to look when we get it all cleaned up. I told you it was a bad analogy. It's just, it's one of those things. It makes sense when I start to tell you about it. And then after I talk a little, I think, huh, that made more sense in my brain. Anyway, TJ Warren, awesome. There's the bottom line. And Pacers have not lost in the bubble. And teams will gain momentum and teams will be able to pull upsets. And I truly believe that this NBA playoffs is not going to be formulaic. It's not going to be exactly what you expect. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Got about an hour to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Coming up, we're going to pivot to the NFL. In case you didn't know, the National Football League is not messing around. Once again, we see the difference between the NFL and every other sports league out there. They are not freaking messing around. I don't know if there's going to be an NFL season, but I do know it won't be for a lack of trying, and it won't be because the NFL didn't throw a ton of money at it and thought and brain power. It'll be because they can't control the virus or where these guys go. But what do we know about the NFL? The league is the epitome of control freaks, and they're doing it again. They're not messing around.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Miller scoops up the loose ball, and Denver's got it inside the 15-yard line. Von Miller went by Andre Smith like he wasn't even there, and Miller into the backfield ripped the ball out of the hands of Josh Rosen. Another turnover to this Denver D.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I miss football! I know I'm not alone. I miss it even more with the thought that we might not have it. I remain cautiously optimistic. You know me. As much as you want me to be doom and gloom, some of you, not all of you, as much as you would like me to be less optimistic and more gloomy, more negative Nelly, I refuse. I can't. I've told you, I can't get out of bed that way. I can't live that way. It's just not my personality. I am eternally hopeful. I can always find some reason to hold on to hope. Sometimes I'm clinging to it at the very end of the rope, and I feel like the rope is fraying and I'm about to get dumped on my rear, but I still always hold on to it for dear life. Part of that is going a day at a time, not getting too far ahead of myself and wondering what's down the road. Every now and then, my brain flops ahead to, what if there's no football in 2020? What if there's no football this fall? And it freaks me out briefly until I use my discipline and I put that thought away where I cannot see it, where I cannot analyze it, where I cannot chew it over. I take that thought and I chuck it. I shove it where the sun don't shine because I can't. I just can't. Also, I'm optimistic because I know what the NFL is all about. when I hear that call with Kevin Kugler, not only do I miss Kevin, who's one of the primary voices on the Westwood One radio network, I've talked to him a couple of times since this whole pandemic. And I know he is desperate to get back to work. He's itching and antsy to get back to work doing play-by-play. But when I hear him call, just one little highlight, it gives me some butterflies. It gives me a thrill. My adrenaline is pumping. We are just over a month out from the start of the NFL season. I need it. I think many of you are in the same boat. So why not? Let's remain optimistic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line here at CBS Sports Radio is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Sponsored by Geico. Right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit for your car, motorcycle, and RV policies. And it's on top of what Geico already saves you when you switch from whatever you're using right now. So visit geico.com to learn more. Geico actually sent me a check in the spring, which was greatly appreciated. You may have seen the announcement on Tuesday. I have to be careful when I say my days because they get all blended together. Throw a tropical storm in there and trees down and generators. And now I really have no idea what day it is. So on Tuesday, you may have seen the announcement from the NFL that the deadline for them to opt out has been moved up to Thursday, 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. And it's a hard and fast deadline. We knew that players would have the option to opt out because that's what every sport has done. And because there's no way that you could move forward without. There are athletes who are high risk. There are athletes who have specific family situations that make them not willing to take the risk. And let's be honest, there are guys out there who just want to take the year off, who aren't so sure that the season's going to go forward anyway. And they'll just take the $150,000. Maybe they're already financially secure. They'll take the $150,000 and they'll take this year off. We talked to Nate Boyer on last night's show, and he said, now there's no guarantee your job's still going to be there. But I think if you're a superstar and you've walked away, like some of the Patriots, for instance, there are these guys on the starting roster who are pretty confident they'll still have jobs when they return. So they're willing to take that risk because they're already financially secure and maybe it's a chance for them to reset physically and mentally. And this is an opportunity they never thought they'd have in the middle of their careers. Great. The NFL knew that was happening. But the league has decided this is a hard and fast deadline. Now think about it. In Major League Baseball, you can opt out even now if you want to. I mean, I'd recommend you not do it the way that Ewan Cespedes did it, but you can walk away from your team right now, or you could do the opposite. Nick Markakis opted back in. I love that. I love that he's kind of a salmon swimming upstream. So it's not a hard and fast deadline from baseball that's set in stone and you can't change your mind. It's the same thing. If there's a player who wants to leave the NBA bubble, now you can't get into the bubble, but you can leave the bubble. You just are forfeiting money that you would have been paid otherwise. With the NFL, not only did they move the deadline up, but you don't have the option of changing your mind once that deadline passes. Yet again, the NFL is not messing around. There are two exceptions, and of course, they may look compassionate, but these are all about the business. If somehow an athlete has a medical condition that is uncovered in 2020, and that diagnosis in 2020, so it's not a pre-existing condition, but it's a diagnosis that's new to the player, and it makes him high risk, then he can opt out following the deadline. Or, and listen to this, the first time I read it, just seems so callous to me, but I'm not really sure how else you would say it, how else you would state it. And especially when it's in print, it does tend to come across as very unfeeling. But I'll read it to you. A player's family member dies, is hospitalized, or is otherwise moved to a medical facility because of a COVID-19 or related condition. Now, I'm sure at some place somewhere they have the conditions defined, identified, so that there's no wiggle room there anyway. It's all about control. As of Tuesday morning, 45 NFL players had officially opted out. We know there are 8 Patriots, by far more than any other team. There are also guys who are reportedly going to skip the season, though they haven't yet made that official announcement. Talked it over with their team. Maybe their team knows, but the league doesn't have the paperwork, whatever it is. It's all about control. Remember Devin McCourty did a Zoom call in which he was really angry, feeling like the NFL was moving that deadline up because it was tired of seeing players opt out. And so now it's going to force the athletes into a decision. I don't know that I agree with him on that point, because I'm not sure more time is going to allow you to make a better informed decision. It's a fluid situation, though. I'll give you that. But I do believe that the NFL recognizes that it's also going to have to be flexible and roll with the punches. But not when it comes to its players. These are the only two conditions upon which you can opt out and still become paid. Otherwise, you're on your own dime.
I don't have an explanation for what happened.
It just is so typical of the NFL. Do you remember back in the spring when we were talking about free agency, everything virtual? We were going through the whole draft process, and actually the NFL got very high marks, both from critics as well as from the viewers who watched it to the tune of 55 million. You may remember before all of that, when the NFL released its schedule, I guess the NFL released its schedule not long after that, but even as the league was working on its schedule, talking about, I mean, it was days in a row, where Roger Goodell said, we fully intend to start on September 10th. We fully intend to go forward with our season. And honestly, at that point, I don't know that there was any major pauses, any major worries and concerns. It kind of felt like the NFL was going to have the benefit, and I still do believe there's some benefit, was going to have the benefit of watching all these other sports with their health and safety protocols. All these other sports were going to return. I don't think any of us knew how complicated it would be. But I do remember that the league announced it would still start on September 10th, that they fully intended to have a season, and that any general managers or owners who had dissenting opinions should zip it. Do you remember that? Roger Goodell essentially said, keep your mouth shut and keep your opinions to yourself. Free speech does not apply in the NFL. And here we are in a similar situation where the league is saying, take it or leave it. Here's your deadline. We don't care so much whether or not you agree with it or like it, because guess what? We've had to trim our rosters. There are guys who would love to be in your position right now. So if you want to opt out, see ya. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, because there's about 36 players who would take your place right now.
I would tell you that it's not awkward at all for me.
Oh, no, I definitely believe it's not. The NFL is a control freak and not messing around ever. And that's the benefit of being in this situation where the owners and the unit they formed are so powerful. But also in 2020, they recognize there are a lot of guys who have lost jobs and who will not get the chance to play this year. And so, while it may hurt, let's say, if a starting quarterback, a superstar quarterback, or, I don't know, one of the league's top running backs, or let's say a Von Miller, we'll let you hear from him coming up. one of these guys that they market opts out, yeah, it might hurt. But unless you're Patrick Mahomes, I don't know that anything can really slow down the popularity of the NFL. How often do we see some of the biggest stars get injured? And yes, while it hurts their teams, and you know the NFL would prefer to have its superstars on the field, it's a freight train. It's like LeBron grabbing a rebound at one end of the court, dribbling through traffic, picking up steam, and dunking on your butt. You get out of its way. The NFL is used to, if not everybody stepping aside, just running over the competition. And once again, like it or not, it's all about control. The league doesn't care. There's no such thing as irreplaceable because the pattern is there. The precedent is there. The league can essentially withstand any type of defection. Chalk it up to the pandemic. Chalk it up to 2020. But as I say, there's not that much leverage for players who decide to opt out or who think they should have more time, because there are dozens, hundreds even, of unsigned free agents, of undrafted rookies, or even of rookies who are drafted in the late stages, who would take that job tomorrow and do it for cheaper. What did Nate Boyer joke around with us about? And we laughed about it, but it's true, right? There's a bunch of guys who are not superstars, who are not making superstar money, who would encourage their teammates or other players in the league to opt out. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and sit this one out, and I'll just take your job. What? Just go ahead. I got you, man. I'll just keep the seat warm. Yeah, it's a turnstile, and there's no such thing as irreplaceable. We miss guys, but they can be replaced. We see it happen all the time. Next man up, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.